for reading God's Word effectively for us today. So as I was telling the children, we're going to be talking today about this incredible scripture, and I mean that really with all of my heart. It's a truly unique and incredible scripture in many different ways, the road to Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus of these two disciples. So it's unique, and it's also very special in its simplicity, right? And the way that Luke tells this story, he was a great historian, right? He was known for it. He was a scholar. He was a doctor. This man, Luke. And he told this story, actually, it sounds like it could be someone who thought up a story and told it, and you feel like, wow, that's really creative, and it's so, in a way, it's touching, and it moves us, and, you know, you read something that stands out from something else. But the main thing we want to remember here is that it is touching, and it's moving, and it's unique, but it's a true story. It's a true story. And Luke just tells it the way it is. Right? And that's the way God is with us, that he is not trying to make everything sound bigger than it is. He is that way. Right? And that moves our hearts in that kind of a way. And so when we look at this really incredible story, especially at this time of year, there are many things that we can learn from it. And I'm going to walk through it. Talking about walking, we're going to walk through this story together. There's going to be two things that I want to make sure that we talk about today. First, the first part is really helped by a man named J.I. Packer, who wrote something about this story. And it's very helpful. It's not that he so much came up with something new, but the way that he told it really helps us to understand this scripture for our lives and apply it. And then after that, I'd like to share two things that God spoke to me about that I believe is especially for us and all of us in this congregation in Grace Church. Okay? So we're going to start off by taking a look at the story and reviewing what happened here on the road to Emmaus. This took place on the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Okay, so that's the setting for this. Right? Jesus died on the cross, and then after 3 days, according to scriptures and in real life, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was the first fruits, right? We talk about him as being the first fruits. He was the first one to be alive and to live into eternity in this kind of a way. And he was the Son of God. So it says on the very day, right, that Jesus rose from the dead. The women went to the grave and met angels there, and they told them, what are you looking for? You know, why are you looking for the dead here? Christ is risen from the dead. So it says two of them were going. There were two people going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were in Jerusalem for the Passover. The Jewish people went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And they were there for that, but they got a lot more than that because they also witnessed during that time the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who was the true Passover lamb, right? And then he died on the cross and rose again, right? And they're sorting through these things. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened, and they were talking and discussing together, right? Some people believe, one of them is named here, Cleopas, but some people believe that it could have been that this man and his wife, perhaps named Mary, were walking together to go home to Emmaus. Okay, so it's interesting, the things that come out from this passage here. But if they were discussing and talking about what had happened, what they had just experienced in Jerusalem. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now let's stop there for a moment. We read that, and we're reading our Bibles, and we come across things, and we're used to hearing about Jesus, and we know who Jesus is, and we're very used to him being with people and teaching his disciples and spending his life with them and all these different things. But there's one thing that changes all of that today. Jesus died. Jesus died. And now we read that Jesus, who died, is walking and joining them on the road to Emmaus. And so we don't have just Jesus, we have the risen Jesus. The risen Jesus. The one who came from the dead, rose from the dead in power, and he's walking with his disciples. It's important for us to understand what is happening here is not just a nice story. It is the most important story that exists to mankind. That there is life after death, and it is found in Jesus, the Son of God. So these two people, perhaps a couple, are walking along and sorting through all these things that they had just seen. The Messiah, who they had put all of their marbles in, you know, in this whole thing that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and he was the Messiah who had come to save them and to restore these people of Israel. And they saw him crucified. And then later on they heard about that his body was no longer in the grave and that people had seen an angel and they were going home thinking about it. And that's what they say to Jesus. It says here, Jesus drew near to them and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They didn't recognize him for some reason. Okay? He says to them, Jesus says to them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? So Jesus is basically saying, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about when it's so unique, right? Jesus Christ, who knows all things, and he just came back from the dead, right? He died for their sins, and he rose from the dead, and he comes over, and he joins them. He says, what are you talking about, guys? And they stood still and looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered him, this is my phrasing. Were you born under a rock? Right? I mean, are you kidding me? You're asking us, you know, what we're talking about, you know? And they stood still, looking sad. One says, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he says to them, it gets better. What things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. So they retraced everything that happened in their lives there, the things that had happened in Jerusalem to this person who is just like, you know, where have you been? And the unique thing about it is that they're talking to Jesus, right? They're talking to the one that they were just talking about, and they're talking to him. And they're sorting through these things, talking to Jesus and explaining all the things that are on their hearts and in their lives. And they were sad by it. You know, I can't capture the way that they felt, but they must have been devastated. They had lived with Jesus. They were followers of Jesus. They loved Jesus and they saw him killed brutally. And they were going through that whole thing. And what happens? This Jesus, they were mourning and sorting through all these things too, comes and joins them on this road and says, hi guys, what are you talking about? Can I talk with you too? Can I walk with you too? Can you tell me what it is that you're going through? And so they pour out their hearts to him in a very, very passionate way, in a very, very meaningful way. They explained all the things that he meant to them. This was the one that we were counting on. And we had thought that he was going to come back from the dead. And so their state of mind was still one of unbelief. We heard that these women had gone to the grave. We heard that they had, you know, seen these angels and things like that, but they had not encountered Jesus in the way that the others had. And now they were. And he came himself to talk with these two. Why did Jesus do it? Why would he choose these two to go with on their way home? So that they would know that what he had told them and had prophesied and what had been prophesied before him was true. And he was alive. And he was with them. So he goes on, and Jesus, listening to them, he speaks to what they had talked about. We look in verse 25. He said to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." Now, if you have been attending our Wednesday night Bible study in Acts, this will ring a bell to you, because these are the words that Luke, the same author of this book, this gospel, spoke about in the book of Acts, which he wrote and accounted for all the disciples and the people like Paul and things like that. And what does it say in the book of Acts over and over again? That they began to interpret all the scriptures, the things concerning Christ. That they opened up the scriptures, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, and interpreted to them all the scriptures and explained all of these things to those Jewish people that they came in contact with. So you see, it begins with Jesus. We see Paul and we see Peter and we read their writings and we hear about what they're doing. But these men did what Jesus taught them to do. And this is one of the reasons that this scripture here, especially today, this story about Emmaus is so important, because it identifies and clarifies that the prophecies in the Old Testament led to Jesus Christ. I have a friend, and he was telling me about a certain well-known pastor who for some reason has been saying that the Old Testament is not modern, that we don't need the Old Testament. But I don't understand how somebody could say something like that, because here we have it. The Word of God begins with Genesis, and Jesus Christ begins in Genesis. He was there at the beginning. Nothing was made without him. Right? And it stretches all the way through to the New Testament. And so the entire Bible, we talk about love, it's a love story from the beginning of time, when man fell short and failed terribly in falling into sin, and God had a plan to bring his son Jesus to restore all things to himself. And so that's really important for us to see here and to understand that Jesus took the time on this road to the seven miles or whatever it was to Emmaus. He spoke to them about the scriptures, and he opened them up and told them how they should feel at this point, to believe that it was true, that God keeps his promises that he makes from far back in the Old Testament, and he keeps his promises in our lives today. And that was what he was saying to these two people. God keeps his promises, and I am here to tell you in person. I am proof of it. I am proof of it. And it goes on from there. So they drew near to the village to where they were going. They were going to Emmaus. He acted as if he were going further. So Jesus was saying, I'm going on. But they urged him strongly and said, stay with us, for it's toward evening and the day is now far spent. It's been a long day of walking. So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took bread, and he blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. He vanished from their sight, And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road, when he opened up the scriptures? Do you hear that? When he opened up the scriptures to us, our hearts were burning, right? And it began there that they saw and they understood and their hope was being restored. Do you understand, right? It's being restored. Isn't that the way it is in life, brothers and sisters, right? We go to God's word so that we can be restored. We go on in life and we experience things. God knows everything that we experience, but he has a word that he has given to us to address everything. There isn't anything that God will not help us with. He is there and he gives us his word so that we can open it and search for him. How often we fail to do that. How often we feel that we're going to just go off into some area or wander someplace on our own and grasp at things and sometimes go astray. But God is telling us today, come to my words. Open the scriptures and you will understand the things that you don't understand. And I will guide you into the truth because I love you. That's a God who is deserving of praise, and he is the only God, right? They rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They got up that same hour, and they ran back to Jerusalem from where they were, 7 miles. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, and the 11 other disciples said, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they found out that Simon Peter was one of the ones who saw Jesus and testified to them. And then they told them, this couple, told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. In the breaking of the bread. So remember this. Well, now I'd like to go back and just retrace what J.I. Packer helps us to be able to see here. First of all, Jesus uses relationships. He is a relational God. And that was what his whole life was about. To come here and to show us the image of God in a man. He was fully God and fully man, but he came with that purpose to be able to speak with us, to eat with us, to walk with us, to show us that God is not some spirit far away. He is real, and he wants us to know him. Right? J.I. Packer did a wonderful job of saying, you know, Jesus could have come to the disciples in a big, glorious light, and boom! Just like he did to Paul, right? He could do that, and he did do that with certain instances like this. But in this case, he came into the life of two people that were in mourning. They were devastated. They didn't need someone to come and appear just like so suddenly like that. He came with compassion. He came with caring. He came with patience, with a listening ear. And he ministered to them in that way, and he listened to what they had to say. And that is something that I learned from J.I. Packer. It's so important in our lives with one another that we don't come on strong. We don't come and just try to force the way. We do things patiently and kindly and approach people in a Christ-like way. You meet people where they are. You have to meet someone where they are. You have to know them. You have to know what's on their minds. You need to share their lives with them. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to the time when you can speak to a person about the things that God wants you to say. But one of the things that we hear most from Christ is that we are to love one another. And somehow that eludes us. Somehow that eludes us. We feel like I have to say this. I've got to do this. I'm going to... You know, and there may be some, there might be some wisdom to that, but overall, what we're learning here is that Jesus came to them and joined them unassumedly as the risen Christ and talked with them. He was all about relationship. The second thing was that he opened the scriptures to them. He didn't just talk to them and say, it's going to be all right. He went and into their lives, and he reminded them of the scriptures that would bring them hope. That the things, just because they had experienced something terrible and they saw what had happened. All of those things were tremendously overwhelming for someone to go through, to see someone you love killed. And then, and to think that all of your hopes and the things that you had put on this person are just, you know, just going away suddenly. And there you are walking home and sorting through all these different things. But Jesus takes them into the scriptures and says, look at what is promised. Look at what God says to you. Look at what God says to believe in, that there will be a risen Christ, that Jesus would rise from the dead, that he would live again, and he would come and he would teach all of you the kingdom of God, right? I will suffer, I will die, but I will be raised from the dead and I will come to you and I will minister to you. And that is what he's doing here. But he used the scriptures and he opened up the scriptures. In our lives, we need to do that. It's so important. It's not just a matter of the pastor saying, read your Bibles. It is a life-changing thing. It is something that is given to us with a wealth of wisdom and hope and love and power and strength for each new day. And if we neglect it, then we are neglecting the hope that God desires to give us, right? So it's so important to do that. Spend it. You may have a hard time. I've had a hard time in my life. I was put in a position in Germany where I went there to sing, and I was looking forward to a career, and the thing that God used in that time that I was over there was hardship. I couldn't get a job anywhere. I couldn't sing. I was trying to get a job singing and I couldn't sing, and it was so frustrating and I was losing sleep. I had so many problems with it, but he guided me to this church and they said, can you help our youth to know who God is? Can you do that for us? We need someone like that. And I said, I don't know, but I can try. And then I opened the Bible, and that was what God wanted me to go to Germany for. And I learned that, and I'm telling you as God's witness that I learned the importance of scripture. It is not easy. I didn't know what it was. I made mistakes when I talked about things. God doesn't care. He knows that we're weak. He knows that we're going to make mistakes, but you need to get into it, man. Because here is the life that is speaking to us. It's God. It's God's word. So he speaks to us. The last thing and the third thing that he said is that God reveals himself to us. God reveals us. Jesus finally did that. He revealed himself to the disciples. And it's not like God is going to just say, read the Bible. He encounters you. He encounters you. We talk about how can we know God if we don't see him? He encounters you. I could tell you all my stories, but unless you do it yourself, you will not know. You have to get into it, and you need to ask, where are you, God? Are you real, God? Some of the greatest people in Christianity throughout the ages have asked that question, and he responded. He encountered them. He responded to their call, and that's what he does. He's not going to ignore you. He comes to you. And he speaks to you because he loves you. You are important to him. You're so important to him that he gave his son for you. He's real. And he's the only reason that I'm alive today. And I'm convinced of it. And God can do the same in your life. And he's done that in many lives that are sitting here today. We need to remember that, right? But God reveals himself. And Jesus reveals himself through the breaking of the bread. And that brings me up to the two points that I want to make today. First of all, I already mentioned, okay, the things that God really put on my heart today is that we're talking about a risen Jesus. Amen? He's not dead. He's alive. He's the risen Jesus. And that takes us into a whole new realm. He's the first fruits of the dead. He came back to life. Why? So that we would have eternal life. So that God would show anyone who is alive on this earth that there is a God and he is greater than anything. Anything, including death. And he offers that life to each person who believes in him. All we need to do is believe in Jesus. And so that is the word. He is the risen Christ who is walking beside us. And brothers and sisters, friends, he is walking beside you. You may not know it, but he is. And if you don't know it, then begin to think about it. And begin to talk to him, and you'll find out just how close he is. Right? Just like these two people did. He walks with us in our lives, and he talks to us. And people have written many great songs about it. So the second thing that God put on my heart for us today, and this affects us, I think, most of all, is the fact that Jesus broke bread with the disciples, and the words that were spoken here are very similar to what they would have heard when they were with Jesus and he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, right? That he breaks the bread and he blesses it, and then he gives it, and it multiplies, and it multiplies, and the story is too long for us to go into here, but it is a miracle that Jesus gave bread from a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. He fed many people, and that is what God does, right? But that bread really draws us into the Last Supper, right? That there is this meaning behind that, that his body is the bread that was broken for us, right? And that he gives it to us to share. And I believe that what God is saying to us today, brothers and sisters in our church, is that we need to have communion with Jesus every day. Now, you may not believe it, but there are churches and beliefs where they have a daily encounter with Jesus Christ in breaking the bread and celebrating communion. And you know what? Think about that for a moment. What if we were to do that? What if we were to say, let's meet here in the church every day, and we're going to break bread, and we're going to have the cup, and we're going to celebrate Christ and the life that we have in Christ with one another every day? Now, we're not going to do that, but what we want to do is we want to celebrate the bread and the cup every day. Amen? We need to be in a deeper relationship with Christ, and that's what he's saying to us today. I've come back from the dead. I died for you. I came back from the dead. I'm offering you life, and now I want you to be one with me in the Lord's Supper. And if not anything else, and I think there is more, and I believe that God is going to show us that as time goes on, what degree we're going to take this, you know, and how we're going to show this. But he wants us to be present for the Lord's Supper every time it's celebrated here. If it's all at all possible, right? And we've been talking about the importance of community and coming together at the baptism. We heard the words from the Bible that says, don't be in the habit of staying away from fellowship like some. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. There are two things that Jesus told. He said, baptize, right? And then meet as a church to celebrate communion, to remember me, the body that was broken for you and the cup that was poured out in my blood, the new covenant. Those are the things that are important in my life. And so when we celebrate it once a month here, it is immensely important that we are present there, because we are coming together to remember what Jesus has done for us and that our lives are dependent upon him. That is the word that he gives to us in this scripture here today. And I believe that what we should do right now is have communion. I have the cups, and I want us to celebrate communion, okay? To be able to, not once in the month, but twice in the month now, and to be able, I think that God is going to help us through this to be able to appreciate what it is that he has done for us. And so let's use this time now to consider that and to meditate on those things. And just like those two people that were on the road to Emmaus, think and consider what it means for you to belong to Christ. And where is your walk with him now? Right? If you need Jesus, give your life to him. In fact, if you need Jesus, raise your hand now and say, I need Jesus. Amen. 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 I need Jesus. Two hands, man. I need Jesus. I need him. Jesus, come into my life. Right? But let us see where God is leading us in this way. It's trustworthy. It's from the scriptures. It's something that is incredibly important. And even the baptism is a one-time thing. But the communion can be celebrated as often as we want. So why not? Why not? Right? So let's think about those things. Let's just say a prayer, and then I'll bring the cups forward. We'll take them as we normally do.